The Man with Two Left Feet by P.G. Wodehouse. Students of the folklore of the United States of America are no doubt familiar with the quaint old story of Clarence McFadden. Clarence McFadden, it seems, was wishful to dance, but his feet wasn't gaited that way. So he sought a professor and asked him his price and said he was willing to pay. The professor, the legend goes on, looked down with alarm at his feet and marked their enormous expanse. And he tacked on a 5 to his regular price for teaching McFadden to dance. I have often been struck by the close similarity between the case of Clarence and that of Henry Wallace Mills. One difference alone presents itself. It would seem to have been mere vanity and ambition that stimulated the former, whereas the motive force which drove Henry Mills to defy nature and attempt dancing was the purer one of love. He did it to please his wife. Had he never gone to Ye Bonny Briar Bush Farm, that popular holiday resort, and there met Minnie Hill, he would doubtless have continued to spend in peaceful reading, the hours not given over to work at the New York bank, at which he was employed as paying cashier. For Henry was a voracious reader. His idea of a pleasant evening was to get back to his little flat, take off his coat, put on his slippers, light a pipe, and go on from the point where he had left off the night before in his perusal of the Bis Cal volume of the Encyclopedia Britannica, making notes as he read in a stout notebook. He read the Bis Cal volume because, after many days, he had finished the A and Os and the Os Bis. There was something admirable, and yet a little horrible, about Henry's method of study. He went after learning with the cold and dispassionate relentlessness of a stoat pursuing a rabbit. The ordinary man, who is paying installments on the Encyclopedia Britannica, is apt to get overexcited and to skip impatiently to volume 28, Vet Zim, to see how it all comes out in the end. Not so Henry. His was not a frivolous mind. He intended to read the encyclopedia through, and he was not going to spoil his pleasure by peeping ahead. It would seem to be an inexorable law of nature that no man shall shine at both ends. If he has a high forehead and a thirst for wisdom, his fox-trotting, if any, shall be as the staggerings of the drunken, while if he is a good dancer, he is nearly always petrified from the ears upward. No better examples of this law could have been found than Henry Mills and his fellow cashier, Sidney Mercer. In New York banks, paying cashiers, like bears, tigers, lions, and other fauna, are always shut up in a cage in pairs, and are consequently dependent on each other for entertainment and social intercourse when business is slack. Henry Mills and Sidney simply could not find a subject in common. Sidney knew absolutely nothing of even such elementary things as Abana, Aberration, Abraham, or Acrogeni, while Henry, on his side, was scarcely aware that there had been any developments in the dance since the polka. It was a relief to Henry when Sidney threw up his job to join the chorus of a musical comedy, and was succeeded by a man who, though full of limitations, could at least converse intelligently on bowls. Such, then, was Henry Wallace.